Hello and welcome to the J-Rod Sports Pod with me, James Robson.
And me, Ollie Dix.
So today you are coming to... We are coming to you live from our sofa. This is the most relaxed we've ever been for a podcast. I'm hoping that Ollie takes a photo and puts it on the Instagram because I don't think I've ever been more chilled out whilst making a podcast so far. But we've got to catch up on a fair amount of sports news and headlines from around the world. So let's jump straight into the conversation that Ollie and I are having from our sofa about sport this week. Right, so let's start with last week's NFL games, because there's been a bit of fallout sort of left, right and centre about some of the things that have been going on. So I think the first thing I want to talk about is the coaches. And that's something we don't talk about very often, but a massive part of the NFL, and get shown quite a lot on TV. The NFL have implemented a policy where the NFL coaches have to wear masks on the sideline. And if they are basically deemed to not be wearing their mask enough and shown for an extensive period of time on the screens without their mask, they get a fine. And that fine is $100,000 per coach and $250,000 to the team as well. Harsh, I'd say.
Yeah, but I think this is the kind of point where in order to make a point, it can't be like 15, 20 grand, because then it just doesn't do anything and there's no incentive for coaches. Like, there's no way John Gruden, next game, doesn't wear a mask unless someone's told him, don't worry, we'll pay your fine.
Yeah, you know? I mean, that is a lot of money, but I do think it has to be, it's the right thing because they have to set an example. And I think sometimes we forget the platform that an NFL game is.
And it's massive.
I mean, it's watched by millions of people around the world.
And yeah, global.
If you get people not following the correct, you know, procedures, then that does have a massive impact.
I think as well, what we've perhaps even we've ignored so far, and I would argue is probably the best statistic from the NFL the first 2 weeks, is that they've had no positive cases. And I don't think that's something we expected. And so actually, if they can have on their platform people wearing masks and then advertise that they've had no positive cases, it reinforces why it's good to wear a mask.
Yeah. And it's nice actually to get in a situation where we've seen the league being so harsh on something that kind of... We've seen the league being harsh on things that were sort of 50-50 or, you know, questionable in the past. But now we're seeing the league be harsh on something that they're like, no, this is very, very black and white.
For sure. If, obviously, we wear masks when you go into shops, etc. If you were told you had to wear a mask all the time, what would the fine have to be for you to 100% never take your mask off ever again?
I don't know. I don't think it would have to be that much, actually.
£100 a day?
Yeah, probably.
Which, £10 a day?
Which, £100 to us is probably...
I mean, that's quite a lot of money.
Probably to them what £100,000 is.
Yeah, maybe.
Anyway, moving on to someone who had a tough time breathing, but not because of a mask malfunction by any case, by any stretch. LA Chargers quarterback Tyrod Taylor.
You said it was Tyrod, but everyone else says Tyrod.
Yeah. Anyway,
I know it's his name, but I think Tyrod sounds better.
Yeah, Tyrod does sound good.
But
He was sidelined, as we spoke about on Tuesday, but the reason that he was sidelined has come out, and it's quite bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's quite an unfortunate... When you have pain in your chest, it's quite an unfortunate place to have it, because actually there isn't much, like, padding almost there for any, like, administration of any kind of aid. And unfortunately... Taylor was subject to a malfunction in that kind of procedure.
So essentially, he was being given a painkiller injection.
Yeah.
And it normally happens slightly above where the pain is in your ribs, and then it sort of seeps down. But in doing that, the team doctor managed to puncture his lung. Now this is a very minor puncture, and it will be healing naturally.
Yeah.
Does this in any way exonerate him? Does this in any way go, actually, you know what? Because it was nothing to do with you as to why you weren't starting this weekend, when you come back, you can start again?
I think we've seen, like, I guess the first example that comes to my head and the first thing I think of is Bledsoe. Like, Drew Bledsoe hadn't done anything wrong as a Patriots quarterback. Got injured by the time he was time for him to come back. Okay, at the start of the next year, Brady and Bledsoe had to compete, but it was very obvious that Tom was the new leader of that team. And I think, okay, Herbert's only been in the league since the summer, so it's a bit different because Brady had the best part of a year under Bledsoe. Whereas actually now you're looking at, okay, how long do you expect Taylor to come out? It's indefinite at the moment. So actually, like, if he's out for 4 weeks and the Chargers go 4-0,
yeah,
like, I think there's not a lot of sentiment in football. I think it would mean Taylor would probably get an opportunity elsewhere because his contract is too large to just have him as a backup. So I think there's a chance that he'd get traded and actually go and play. But I do think, like, his chances are numbered. He's almost had a few too many, like, been around the league a bit too much for him to just get more and more, you know?
Is he the unluckiest quarterback in the league? Because, he was in Cleveland and then they drafted Baker. And when you draft someone first overall, you're not going to not play him.
Yeah.
Equally, when you draft someone fifth overall, you're not going to not play him.
No.
He beat those guys out at the start of training camp, and then when things got tough, they brought in the new kid. You know, I don't feel like he's ever had a fair shot where he's been like, where someone's bought in and gone, you're our guy.
But it seemed like the Chargers had done that. And then they went and drafted Herbert. And I think actually, yeah,
it's hard to say that someone's unlucky when they're playing quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, that is true. But I also think actually he is a very talented quarterback. And we've never actually been able to see the full potential of him. And I think I question whether we ever will. So like someone like Robert Griffin III.
If he doesn't come back to LA or they decide to move on, where do you think he might end up?
Well, I mean, he won't. I don't think he'll go anywhere for the rest of this year.
Yeah, yeah. But like at the end of next season.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. Honestly, don't know. Couldn't tell you. It wouldn't surprise me if he went to Washington. It wouldn't surprise me if somewhere like Carolina were interested. But I think you go to those places not as a starter. I don't think there are any starting jobs in the NFL open right now.
My one sneaky one.
Go on.
Miami.
No.
Because I think if Tua goes down with a long-term injury this year, or if they decide that, I mean, Fitzpatrick doesn't look like he is the guy.
No, I agree with that.
If Tua isn't what they think he's going to be, then that's a place that just needs someone who can be consistent. And that is what Tyrod Taylor is. He is consistent. He doesn't have the upshot that a lot of the other quarterbacks do. But he doesn't have a downshot that a lot of the quarterbacks do.
Yeah, look, it wouldn't surprise me actually at the end of this year we actually start to see quite a big reshuffle in the NFL. I can see the Falcons making some big changes.
Yeah.
And actually, is it time to move on from like Matty Ryan? Like, okay, like an MVP winning quarterback at one point, but by no means seems to be the guy that's lighting up the league anymore. And I just think actually like, we're coming into a stage where it doesn't seem like Philly know what they're doing with their quarterback situation. I imagine if Cleveland aren't sold on Baker by the end of the year, they'll want to reshuffle.
Mm.
And so I think there will be spots open, but I think at the moment, like, I suppose for him, you just have to hope for the speediest of recoveries. But I do think, I can't remember his first name, but the Chargers head coach, Lynn. Anthony Lynn. I think he does like Taylor.
Yeah.
I think, you know, he seems sincere when he means, like, that he's their starter. And actually, you just have to hope for Taylor's sake that he gets some playing time. He's back before, like, week 6, I think.
The longer it goes, the less likely it is for him to...
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Okay, then looking at probably one of the more odd stories to come out of the NFL so far this year, which is saying something.
Yeah.
But the NFL are investigating MetLife Stadium, which is where the New York Jets and the New York Giants play. They share the stadium. For a sort of inadequacies in their turf, in their pitch, because there were so many injuries to 49ers players last weekend. And also, you've got to look at the fact that Saquon Barkley is injured for the year with an ACL. Now, they weren't playing there last weekend, but could that have been stressed quite a lot by constantly having to cut and turn up field and, you know, evade tackles on a pitch that, pitch that is subpar? I don't know. I mean,
I find this a strange one because it's all done in retrospect. I find it strange that all players warmed up on that pitch and nobody said anything, nobody complained. Like, it wasn't even a point until everyone started going down. And I think you just have to question, actually, okay, the turf might not have been perfect, but was it just one of those days where nobody had any luck?
Yeah, true. But then you've got to look at the injuries as well.
I mean, the fact that they all are pretty much ACL.
It's like two ACLs and a high ankle sprain.
Yeah.
That is indicative that maybe the turf wasn't the greatest.
But again, like, any reason for the Jets to be in the news?
Yeah. 2 out of 2 weeks. But speaking of Saquon Barkley then, because he's injured for the year, the Giants have signed Devontae Freeman. It's a 1-year, $3 million deal. Good value? I think it's pretty good value. He's not Saquon Barkley.
No, but I think actually and he doesn't fix any of the Giants' pass protection issues that, according to some, you know, Giants fans, that Barkley didn't really offer them any help either on that. But I think he, for me, adds a new dynamic to that backfield where, like, you're more your pitch runs or your tosses. I think that's where Freeman's quite exciting and quite electric. And we saw that, you know, in that Super Bowl team of the Falcons where Freeman was actually quite exciting, and hopefully, like, he can showcase his talents there with the Giants again, because they will use that run game. That's the guarantee he knows going there.
Yeah,
that with Jones at quarterback, you're going to need a run game.
I like the fit. Really? I think the fit's good. I just hope that he stays healthy, because it's one of those things that with the way that the offensive line is looking there, I mean, it looks like a sieve.
Nothing's going to be easy.
And he's not going to get many yards before contact. Right, so let's go to a sort of whistle-stop prediction for this upcoming weekend. And if there is a game that you particularly like, just jump in, or I might jump in and sort of have a chat. Right, we're starting off tonight, so by the time this comes out, it will be probably half time. Miami versus Jacksonville.
I think Jacksonville.
Really?
I think I might be aboard.
Wow.
It's just exciting, isn't
Miami
it?
Miami have got to win. It's hard to say this early on, but it's a must-win game for Miami. 0-2 against Jacksonville, a team that you should be beating. Like, a team that, on paper, you should be beating. For Ryan Fitzpatrick, you got to go, I've got to get it done today.
Oh, no, for sure. I think if they don't, they really start considering, actually, is it worth just playing Tua? How much worse are you by just throwing him in and putting him in the deep end and being like, look, we have full confidence in you. Go and figure this out. Go and get some reps, because the more reps he gets, the better he's going to be.
Yeah, 100%. Houston Texans against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I think the Steelers are, I would think they're still classed as underdogs, but I think their defense is
the best in the league.
I think many people would say, I think there are probably some teams who would like to put their hand up and be like, what about us? Like, especially in that NFC North with the Ravens. But yeah, 100%. I was pleasantly surprised with how competitive Houston was against the Chiefs in week one. And maybe I underestimated them, but I think this will be a really telling point as to whether they're good for the year or not.
These are the games that they need to win.
Yeah.
Okay, the Bengals against the Eagles. Is Joey Burrow going to get his first win?
Yeah, 100%. You think? That Eagles team is awful.
In disarray.
Yeah.
They don't know. When you got two quarterbacks, you got no quarterbacks.
I think... yeah, that's where I'm looking at the moment for the first head coach to go bye-bye.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. San Francisco return to MetLife Stadium to face the New York Giants this time. I can't see... I mean, they're playing Nick Mullins. You've got to hope, if you're a Giants fan, that you can get it done.
Yeah.
You think they're going to?
Yeah, I think... I don't have any confidence in that game. That won't be a game that I tune into.
Yeah.
It will be...
Might be a game that features quite a lot on red zone, though.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think it might be in the red zone, but never in the end zone.
There we go. Las Vegas Raiders against the New England Patriots.
I know this is going to sound strange, but I think this will be more of an honest test for the Patriots than the Seahawks were.
Yeah.
I think this will determine whether the Patriots are a very good team and we can talk realistically about playoffs, or whether they're just a good team that will be okay in the AFC. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I think I was very impressed with the Raiders against the Saints.
Definitely.
Especially given how we praised the Saints so much up against Tampa Bay, that I think this will be very interesting for everyone to watch.
What I would say is I think this is in New England, and so the conditions have to start playing a part of things, because the Raiders play indoors.
No, for sure. Look, I think both the Raiders and the Saints being very used to indoor games.
Dome teams.
Yeah, like I completely get that. I just think like... you see John Gruden dancing again after a game and you think, gosh, nothing's ever going to go well when he does that. But I think that almost getting a new stadium might be the thing that ignites this team a little bit and gets them on their way.
Yeah. Belichick tends not to lose twice in a row, though. So
yeah,
we'll see there. Right, the Tennessee Titans against the Minnesota Vikings. I think the Titans are going to absolutely wipe the floor with this. Minnesota, look... that's a team that I think looks very poor.
The best analysis of this I have found is, if you're a Minnesota fan, how panicked are you? Ryan Clark on Get Up ESPN said, I'm as panicked as Samuel L. Jackson was when he found out that there were snakes on that plane. And that is 100% how I feel. Like this, I thought this defense might be okay, because Mike Zimmer is always... a good defensive team, but it's just not. And actually, Kirk Cousins looks dreadful. If we're talking about a place for Tyrod Taylor to go, that wouldn't be awful. They probably need some change at some point. But I think all this ever does is add value to Stephon Diggs.
Yeah,
100%. And how good he made that Vikings offense.
100%. Washington football team against Cleveland Browns.
I think Washington takes this.
I'm going to say Cleveland.
I don't have much confidence in the Browns. They made that Bengals team look quite good.
Okay. Los Angeles Rams against Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I like the Bills.
I like the Bills.
Yeah. It's not a team that I would like to be on a train for, but very much aboard. And I think what they're doing in there is quite good. And impressed more and more each week with Josh Allen.
Yeah, same. The Chicago Bears against the Atlanta Falcons.
A game that gets the Bears season going a little bit.
Yeah, if you can turn 1 win into two.
Yeah.
There's a bit of momentum here.
Yeah, and I think that Falcons team, yeah, like I said earlier, just looks quite questionable.
Not good.
Yeah.
The LA Chargers against the Carolina Panthers.
I think you have to ride the Herbert wave a little bit from last week. But, yeah, I think the Panthers are a team that will get better each week the more that they play, because that's a relatively new team. I'm not convinced, though, McCaffrey will play. I think McCaffrey's out for a few weeks, and I think that that limits their offense massively.
I agree. I'm going to say Chargers.
How long do you... I know they... Was it Matt Rhule got a 7-year contract?
Yeah.
How many years of that do you think he plays out? Or he manages out, coaches out?
4 or 5.
Do you think he stays that long?
Yeah.
Wow.
The New York Jets against the Indianapolis Colts. How much are the Colts going to win by?
Do you think?
Yeah.
I am not that confident in the Colts. I don't think Phil Rivers looks that great.
I don't disagree with you.
Oh.
I'm very, very confident that I know exactly what the Jets are.
Right. Yeah, I think this might be a similar game to what we said San Francisco, the Giants might be. I think a bit of a poor one. I'll go with the Jets. Why not? Take a punt.
Because they look like a high school team.
Yes.
Okay, the Dallas Cowboys against the Seattle Seahawks.
Seahawks.
Cannot stand the Cowboy hype.
No, but I don't think it's hype anymore. I think last week very quickly stopped all of that.
Yeah.
I don't think there was any form of a wave that built last week. It was very much a save.
Yeah. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers against the Denver Broncos, who are without their starting quarterback, Drew Lock.
Yeah, Blake Bortles went for a tryout there, however you might call it.
Yeah.
I don't know if they signed him or not. I think this is one where that Tampa takes. I can't see... The Broncos didn't look great with Drew Lock in. And without him, I can't imagine it's going to be even greater.
Yeah. The Detroit Lions against the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, how tough. You just can't catch a break if you're a Lions fan at the moment, can you?
No, and it doesn't seem like you ever can. They've shown glimpses that it's turning around, but not something that... Like, I thought they looked good in the first half against Green Bay in week one, but I think you... I think the entire league is excited by Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals, and I think they win this quite comfortably in the end.
The Green Bay Packers against the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah. Did the Saints get found out against the Raiders, or was that actually just a bit of a flash in the pan from the Raiders?
I think if you're giving up 33 points against the Raiders, you're going to be looking at about 50 against Green Bay, and I don't think they can score that.
Yeah.
Because at that point, you start needing big arm talent, and I'm not saying that Drew Brees' arm is not good. I'm just saying it's not as explosive as it was.
It doesn't look all there.
No.
I'm never a fan of the Cliff. I'm never a fan of the Cliff talk, but... It might look like a bit like a steady hill that arm is starting to go down. And a big fan of how Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams are playing up there with Matt LaFleur.
Definitely. Kansas City against Baltimore. Massive game, this.
Yeah, game of the week.
Yeah, at really like 2 o'clock on Tuesday morning.
Yeah, very good. I think Kansas City didn't look as dominant as I expected them to be about against the Chargers, and we potentially saw a bit of a game plan. The thing is that I think Mahomes is unbeaten when he's down by 10 at any point in a game, so I think it's always hard to bet against that, but I do think Baltimore might take it. I think they've still got a chip on their shoulder.
I'm going to say the Chiefs.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Why?
I just think... that you, I don't think that Lamar Jackson will be able to score with them. Because even in that game against the Chargers, they weren't shut down.
Yeah, no, from a scoring standpoint. I get that.
Okay, right, turning our attention then to the NBA and the NBA playoffs. So let's start with the Miami Heat then, because they've beaten the Boston Celtics in Game 4. So they're now 3-1 up in the series. Tyler Herro.
Yeah, first player to play in the conference finals that was born in the 2000s.
And on his way to doing that, scored 37 points in Game 4. He's the that's the second largest total in the NBA playoffs for a player under the age of 21 behind Magic Johnson.
Yeah.
Which is quite a good person. If you're going to pick one person to be sat behind on a record sheet, Magic Johnson's not a bad person.
No, for sure. And I think like the guys around him were like Derrick Rose as well, like with 36. Look, I think this Miami Heat team are one built around Jimmy Butler, but we've seen Butler in Chicago, in Minnesota, and everyone put the blame on Jimmy. That, like, he was dysfunctional. He couldn't carry a team. Actually, you seem to have a team built around Jimmy and that are supporting him and want to do this for him as well. And it's just almost a perfect environment that a bubble has brought a team together like this. And it's hard to see them losing 4 on the bounce now.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody when, I suppose it has been a while, but when LeBron left in 2014, I don't think anybody expected the Heat to be back this soon.
No, definitely not. And I think it's great to see, because the Heat are, you know, certainly in recent memory, a very successful and exciting franchise to watch. And I think it's nice to see that returning.
Will be nice to see LeBron against the Heat in the finals.
Yeah. If that happens. Because the Nuggets have won Game 3 and they're back to 2-1 down. Jamal Murray was sort of pulling up from everywhere, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen that, you know, we saw against the Clippers that he can have these streaky moments where everything seems to go in. And when you can have those moments, actually, you can win any game. Look, I think it was good. The Lakers in the first half came out quite soft, quite relaxed, almost like it was over a little bit. And I think this was the kick in the teeth that they needed a little bit. And they can now actually go back to work. It's very rare that you see a LeBron James team lose 2 on the bounce, like you spoke about with Belichick. Yeah. And I think actually they'll come out and he'll come out. Sometimes you see him come out and he'll score like 10 of the first 15 points. And it's just like, right, he's in his rhythm. Now goes gets everyone else going. And very rarely do they lose those games.
Can I ask the awkward question?
What would you rather?
Do you dare going down 3-1 to the Nuggets?
I mean, you just have to. Despite their past, and there'll be some incredible amounts of money put on the Nuggets if they do go down 3-1. But you just don't want to make this a series longer than it has to be. And so I say, yeah, you go 3-1 up to the Nuggets.
Tempt fate.
And actually you back that you have two of the top 5 players from the NBA this season and you can get it done in one of the next 3 games. Especially when one of those is regarded by many as like the GOAT.
You're a braver man than I.
Yes, well, I also don't back Denver that much.
There we go.
I think like versus the Clippers, we saw a poor Clippers team rather than a very good Denver team.
Okay, and then turning our attention very quickly for the last couple of minutes to a sort of whistle-stop tour of the Premier League, because we have 10 games to quickly look through and 10 games to give you our lightning-fast predictions on. Brighton versus Man United.
Brighton. I just love it. I love it. That Palace game just excites me, and the fact that Brighton beat Newcastle 3-0. Yeah, why not? Adam Lallana doing bits.
I'm calling the bounce back.
Really?
Yeah, I'm calling the bounce back.
With no signings.
Soon to be Premier League champions Crystal Palace against Everton.
Top of the league, Everton. This yeah, is top of the league Everton. Clash, this is. I think this might be an early test for Everton.
Yeah.
Like an informed Palace team that look quite good, quite fast, quite electric. We'll see how good that Everton team actually is.
I think this is going to depend on Everton going forward.
Really?
But I don't think... I think Palace are in good scoring form, and so Everton will have to create chances to stay in the game.
I feel like Palace are definitely going to score two goals.
Yeah. I can't see them not.
Yeah.
Okay, West Brom versus Chelsea.
Yeah, Chelsea.
Yeah, I agree. Burnley Southampton.
Yeah, a real footballer's game, isn't it?
Yeah, this is one for the purists.
Southampton
0-0 draw.
I back that actually against Spurs. At times they look very good and actually just played too high a line, and I think that's not against Burnley. You don't get punished as much for that, so I think they'll do all right.
I'm going to say Burnley.
Okay. For the next game, Sheffield United versus Leeds, more or less than 7 goals?
More.
More?
More, yeah.
More. Who what? Sheffield United?
5-3 Leeds.
5-3 Leeds?
Yeah.
Jeez. I mean, I'd love to see that. I'm quite happy to agree to that.
Yeah. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Okay, Tottenham versus Newcastle.
Yeah, Tottenham.
Yeah,
Bale?
I'm going to agree. No.
Oh.
No. He got out for a month, isn't he?
I don't know.
He passed his medical, but they had a little nagging injury that he picked up playing for Wales, so they want to leave him.
Okay. But that Newcastle team does not look good.
No, it doesn't.
We really missed out on Project Mbappe there.
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
Man City versus Leicester. Interesting one, though.
Yeah, because a Leicester team that started the league, started the season quite well.
But then got pushed aside quite comfortably in the EFL Cup.
Yeah, I think City.
You think City?
But I also worry that I think Aguero is out again for quite a while. And I worry that actually, look, they've obviously got quite a lot of talent, but consistently they need a goal scorer all the time. Mm. And I don't think that is Raheem Sterling. You need like an out-and-out striker like Aguero.
I agree. West Ham against Wolves.
You mean West Ham versus Portugal?
West Ham versus Portugal.
Wolves have signed another Portugal. I think it's a Portuguese right back for 35 million again. And it seems like they know what they like. I like
Portuguese
Wolves.
Players.
Yeah.
There we go.
I think it would just be Connor Cody left when the international games start happening.
Yeah, he'd be just there on his own.
Yeah.
Fulham against Aston Villa.
I think this is where Fulham get their first win.
Really?
Yeah. I like Scott Parker. I think he's trying to do it the right way. And I think Villa don't look that convincing still. Although, hopefully, might be a bit better with Martinez in goal.
I think Villa might snatch a draw here.
That's not great, though, to say if you're a Villa fan.
No, I know.
To, like, that you're snatching a draw against Fulham.
I think that's what it is, though. And the last one, the big one, and I wonder who we're each going to support here.
Yeah, the big one for
Liverpool
us.
Liverpool against Arsenal.
Yeah, Arsenal, no jokes.
Yeah. Correct, I agree.
I can't tell you how much I enjoyed watching Thiago against Chelsea. And I think that he's going to absolutely love playing against that Arsenal midfield.
I'm confident.
We'll bring Diego Jota on as well.
I'm confident. I think we're going to get it done.
What's the score then?
2-1 Arsenal.
Getting it done, 2-1.
Yeah.
You think Liverpool will only score once?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I think if Arsenal win, they have to score 3 or more.
We're solid at the back. Right, so thank you very much for listening to that episode of the J-Rod Sports Pod. Mainly looking forward, actually, to quite a packed weekend of sport again. It's quite nice having live sport to look forward to on the weekend. Obviously, we've got our usual Tuesday episode that's coming out next week, and a look back at the Russian Grand Prix with Sam Corti, which is happening in Sochi this weekend as well. But until then, please make sure that you be a friend and tell a friend about the J-Rod Sports Pod.